continue our book Sharh Sunnah by Al-Imam Al-Muzani Rahimahullah. The Imam said Rahimahullah, وَإِقْصَارُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ والاختيار فيه بين الصيام والإفطار في الأسفار إن شاء صام وإن شاء أفطر وإقصار الصلاة في الأسفار والاختيار فيه بين الصيام والإفطار في الأسفار إن شاء صام وإن شاء أفطر. Imam said, Rahimahullah, وَإِقْصَارُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ وَالِاخْتِيَارُ فِيهِ بَيْنَ الصِّيَامِ وَالْإِفْطَارِ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ إِنْ شَاءَ صَامَ وَإِنْ شَاءَ أَفْطَرَ. From amongst the things of the people of Sunnah, like we mentioned last week, there are some issues of fiqh that are not in themselves issues of Aqeedah, but some people with some deviant aqa'id have aspects to it. So when the ulama mention issues of Aqeedah, they mention these issues. For example, we said in the last class that the people, the Khawarij, because they believe that many of the leaders are kuffar, so when they grade them as non-Muslims, as kuffar, they come and pray behind them so that they will not be arrested for praying, for not praying behind the Amir. But they are going to repeat the Salah when they go back to their homes. So it becomes from the things of Aqeedah that you don't repeat that Salah when you go back home. So the issue of not repeating the Salah when you go back home now begins to occur in the books of Aqeedah, even though it is not in itself an issue of Aqeedah. Aslan. So, part of that is this issue of Qasr in Salah and Al-Fitr his Safar when we are traveling. A person shortening his prayer when he travels, and a person performing or not fasting when he's traveling. The Imam says, وَإِقْصَارُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ. Likewise, shortening As-salah fil asfar, shortening the prayer during journey. وَإِقْصَارُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ. Likewise, amongst the issues of the people of Sunnah that they are upon is إِقْصَارُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ. They shorten their salah fil asfar during their journey. Asfar is the plural of the word safar, which means journey. So, from what the people of Sunnah are upon is إِقْصَارُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ, shortening or reducing the prayers فِي الْأَسْفَارِ during their journey. What then is the proof that when we travel on the journey, we should shorten our prayers? Ulama say there is evidence in the Quran, there is evidence in Sunnah, and there is evidence in Ijma. In the Quran in Surah Al-Nisa, Allah says, وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah says, وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, when you travel on the surface of the earth, you use the word ضَرَبَ, of course. وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Ulama say Allah used that word ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ as if when you beat the earth, when you beat while traveling. And Imam Ibn al-Arabi rahimahullah says, it is when you beat your beast of body, because during the journey you'll be beating the beast of body. وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ يعني الإبل أو الفار. So during your journey you beat your beast of body. So it is from that that the expression is borrowed to refer to safar itself. So Allah says, وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, when you travel on the surface of the earth, فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ, there is no blame on you, there is no sinning for you, أَن تَقْصُرُوا الصَّلَاةِ, if you reduce, أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, if you reduce your salah, if you shorten your salah, laysa alaykum junah, there is no blame on you. This would mean that to make kusur is just allowed. That is what it would mean. Laysa alaykum junah, there is no blame on you. Meaning if you don't do it, if you don't make kusur, that is better for you. But that you make kusur is allowed. That in fact the better thing is that you should complete the salah. Because if you don't complete the salah, there is no blame on you. What if you complete the salah? Then you would have fulfilled the salah. This is what this verse means apparently. When you read this verse and read the books of Tafsir, you will understand that it is not possible to understand the Quran without the Sunnah. It is not possible for a Muslim to conceptualize rightly the Quran without the Sunnah. This verse, La junaha alaykum, there is no blame on you, it would mean that the basic thing is that even when you are traveling, you should complete your salah. But that it is only allowed for you. You are not sinning when you are not completing the salah, when you make kufr. So he says, فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, there is no blame on you when you reduce the salah. إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, there is no blame on you to shorten the salah. إِنْ خِفْتُمْ, if you fear, أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, that those who disbelieve, the kuffar, أَن يَفْتِنَكُمْ, they could bring trouble to you, they could attack you, they could bring problems to you. So if you fear that they will bring problems to you, فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, there is no blame on you to reduce the salah. If you fear that the non-Muslims will attack you, what if you don't fear that they will attack you? This is the mafhum, understanding the opposite, al-mukhalafa, of the verse. That it means if you don't fear that the non-Muslims will attack you, then don't reduce your salah. These two issues are not like that. But we will only understand that from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad while he explains this verse. We will understand that La junaha alaykum, there is no blame on you, does not necessarily mean that Salatul Qasr is mubah. The correct view is that Salatul Qasr is wajib. The ruling of it is wujub. Salatul Qasr is wajibatun, but the ruling is wujub. The ruling of Salatul Qasr is obligation. It is obligatory for us to perform Salatul Qasr. So when he says, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ, there is no blame on you, you can't pick that rule of obligation from an issue of there is no blame on you. So how then do we understand it? We go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, it hung the ruling on if you are not afraid. If you are afraid, in khiftum an yaftinakum alladhina kafaru, if you are afraid that the non-Muslims could attack you, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنْ صَلَاتِكُمْ, there is no blame on you for you to reduce the prayer. What if you don't fear that anybody is attacking you? It means it is not allowed for you to even reduce the prayer. These understandings are not correct. But we will know that they are not correct only when we understand the verse in line with the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the companions, one of the Tabi'un, Ya'la ibn Umayyah, he came to ask Umar radiallahu anhu that Allah is saying, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah says, there is no blame on you to reduce the salah if you fear that the non-Muslims may attack you or bring problems to you during your journeys.
See, but now, قد أمن الناس, people are in safety. So why then do we still reduce our salah?
Umar radiallahu anhu answered him. He said, rahimahullah, أَجِبْتُ مِمَّا أَجِبْتَ مِنْ. I had been astonished. I had been surprised. I had wondered at what you are wondering at today. Radiallahu anhu. Says, فَسَأَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. So I asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam regarding that. And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, صَدَقَةٌ تَصَدَّقَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَيْكُمْ. He said, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, that salatul qasri, for us to reduce the salah during our journey, is what? صَدَقَةٌ تَصَدَّقَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْبَلُوا صَدَقَتَهُ. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam that it is sadaqatun, a form of charity, tasaddaqa Allahu biha alaykum, that Allah has extended it to you, the charity, the free gift Allah has given you, faqbalu sadaqatahu. Therefore, you all should accept Allah's charity for you. Meaning that whether we are on journeys and we are attacked, we are afraid of attack or not, salatul qasr is a sadaqah. The reduction is a sadaqah that Allah has given to us. And he said alayhi salatu wasalam, faqbalu sadaqatahu. Therefore you should accept the sadaqah that Allah has given you. That hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Some of the ulama, like al-Imam Abu Hanifa, he deduced from the statement, فَقْبَلُوا صَدَقَتَهُ. Therefore, you should accept Allah's sadaqah, that it means it is obligatory for us to perform Salatul Qasr. Because when we are in journey, because that is an order from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you get this? The statement, فَقْبَلُوا صَدَقَتَهُ. Therefore, you all should accept Allah's sadaqah. They say, al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he says it is an order from Allah to us that we must accept to perform Salatul Qasri when we are on journey. That it is not a thing of choice whether we like or we don't like. Because the Prophet says, by way of commanding us, he says, فَقْبَلُوا صَدَقَةً. Therefore, you must accept the sadaqah that Allah has given to you. In another hadith, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سافر من المدينة. Abdullah ibn Abbas said رضي الله عنهما, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم made a journey من المدينة, out of Medina, from Medina. ولا يخاف إلا الله عز وجل. And he was not afraid of anything except Allah سبحانه وتعالى. فصلى ركعتين حتى رجع. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed rak'atayn, two rak'at, until he did what? Until he returned to Medina. This is evidence that it is not an issue that is connected to fearing non-Muslims being a trial to us during our journey. It is a matter that Allah has given to us, like he said in the first hadith, صَدَقَةٌ تَصَدَّقَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْبَلُوا صَدَقَتَهُ. There are other narrations, like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, that al-Imam Ahmad reported in his Muslim. He saw some people making after their two units of prayer, after their kufr, for Salatul Zuhur, Salatul Asr, and Salatul Isha. He now saw them making nawafil, the rawati, before and after those obligatory salah. So he started asking, what is this that you are doing? They say, oh no, we are making salah. He said, why not make four? They say, oh, should we make four? He said, you should not make four. When you should not make four, then the rawatib have even been removed for you. And he said, that is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he started saying, I followed the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in all his journeys. He never made four rak'ahs on a journey.
I followed Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu on his journey. He never made farak. I followed Omar. I followed Uthman ibn Affan. He never made farak. They never made farak at. And then he read the verse, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. It means the sunnah of performing salah. Those salawah we perform when that are four rak'at, four units, the sunnah of performing them during journeys is to make two units each. Two rak'at each for salat zuhr, two rak'at for salat al-asr, and two rak'at again for salat al-isha. Aisha radiallahu anha, one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, she said, "Fuldat salatu rak'atayn." Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Fuldat salatu rak'atayn." The salat were made obligatory as two rak'at. She said, radiallahu anha, "Thumma hajara an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Thereafter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah from Makkah to Medina. فَفُوِضَتْ أَرْبَعًا. Then those two units were made to be four. In the report of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, she explained further. She said, غَيْرُ الْمَغْرِبِ, except Salatul Maghrib. فَإِنَّهَا وِتْرُ النَّهَارِ. She said, Salatul Maghrib is وِتْرُ النَّهَارِ, the Salatul Witr of the day. You know, the night has its own witr. The night has its witr. We make Qiyamul Layl. The witr al-Nahar is what? Salatul Maghrib. From Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, فَإِنَّهَا وِتْرُ النَّهَارِ. Because Salatul Maghrib is the odd prayer of the day. وَالصُّبْحُ لِطُولِ كِرَاءَتِهَا. Likewise, Salatul Subh was left like that because the recitations in Salatul Subh were long. Salatul Maghrib was made to remain three rak'at because that is the witr of Nahar. But Salatul Subh was left at two rak'at because during Salatul Subh, the Imam is expected to read lengthy verses of the Quran, lengthy chapters, lengthy portions of the Quran. So Subh was left for that reason. Salatul Maghrib was made witr for that reason. But the rest of them, two rak'at were added to them. So she said, radiallahu anha, she said, وَتُرِكَتِ الصَّلَاةُ السَّفَرِ عَلَى الْأُولَىٰ. تُرِكَتْ صَلَاةُ السَّفَرِ عَلَى الْأُولَىٰ. The traveler's prayer, the prayer of traveling, Salatul Qasr, was left upon the fourth. What was the fourth? Rak'atayn. So this is evidence that Salatul Qasr is two rak'at, no other. Yes, ulama have a view. Some of the ulama say it is just encouraged. The better thing is for us to perform Salatul Qasr, like Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. One of the statements from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah. All these people have an opinion to say Salatul Qasr is better for the traveler. But that it is allowed for the traveling person when he or she is praying alone or leading a group of travelers, they say it is allowed to make four rak'at. But the rest amongst the ulama, like Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, like Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, and others like Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, all of these say that the correct thing is to do what she said radiallahu anha, that the salah is two rak'at in its asl. Allah increased the salah for those of us at home, and he left the salah like that at two rak'at for those of us who are traveling. This is further strengthened by another statement from Umar ibn al-Khattab, Amir al-Mu'minin, radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Salatu safari rak'atan. Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, Salatu safari rak'atan. The prayers of during the journey are two units. وَصَلَاتُ الْأَضْحَىٰ رَكَعْتَانِ. Likewise, the Eid al-Kabir salah. The salah of the day of Eid al-Kabir, Eid al-Adha, is what? Two rak'at.
وَصَلَاتُ الْفِطْرِ رَكْعَتَانِ. The salah for the day of Fitr after we fast the month of Ramadan, the first day of Shawwal, is also what? Two rak'ah. It says, وَصَلَاتُ الْجُمْعَةِ رَكْعَتَانِ. See, salat al-jum'ah is also what? Two rak'ah. Say, تَمَامٌ دَيْرُ قَصْرٍ. Say, تَمَام. That is how they are. Just like we cannot perform the meaning of this from Umar radiallahu anhu. Just like we cannot perform Salat Eid al-Adha or Fitr as four rak'ahs under any excuse, likewise the traveling person must not perform Salat al-Qasri as four rak'ahs under any excuse, except when he is praying behind a person who is a home-based person performing four rak'ahs. In that case, he will perform the salah of the praying imam. Otherwise, he is going to perform two rak'ahs in all his salah that ordinarily he could have made four rak'ahs. So he says, تَمَامٌ غَيْرُ قَفْرٍ عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ نَبِيِّكُمْ. This is the evidence. Umar radiallahu anhu said, تَمَامٌ غَيْرُ قَفْرٍ عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ نَبِيِّكُمْ. It is complete like that and not reduced. And that is what your messenger has said from his mouth, alayhi salam. So it means, just like Eid al-Fitr, just like Salat al-Adha, just like Eid al-Fitr, just like Salat al-Jum'ah, no imam will perform Salat al-Jum'ah as four rak'ahs. Likewise, no traveling person should perform Salatul Qasri when he is praying alone as a traveling person and he is performing Salatul Zuhur or Salatul Asri or Salatul Isha. No traveling person should make four rak'ahs of prayer. And that's why some of the ulama even say when a person knows and does it deliberately, he has no salah. They say it's like someone who performs Salatul Subhi as four rak'ahs. When a person knows and deliberately violates it, it's like a person who knows that Salatul Subhi is two rak'ahs or Salatul Jum'ah is two rak'ahs, but the person goes on to deliberately add two more rak'ahs to them. I am sure that brother is not videoing me. I have a choice that I'm not videoed. Jazakallahu khairan. So this is Salatul Qasr. There are other issues connected to Salatul Qasr, such as what length of journey should the traveling person observe? For how long should the person travel before he performs Salatul Qasr? Al-Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, because some of the ulama say the journey is the journey of 3 days and three nights. Some say the journey is the journey of one day and one night. Some say the journey is the journey of one barid. That's about 3 miles or so. Some say the journey is the journey of 18 miles. Some say the journey of three. Like that. A lot of opinions on this. So Al-Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah al-Andalusi, he says, لا حد لذلك أصلا. So there is no specific limitation. The Sharia has not limited to say if you travel a journey. Okay, for example, Anas ibn Malik, Abdullah ibn Umar, and others amongst the companions, they say the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when he travels from Medina to Dhul Hulayfa, he performs Salatul Qasr. Anas ibn Malik reported it. Abdullah ibn Umar reported it in Al-Muwatta. When the messenger traveled from Makkah to Medina, he will make Qasr. And Medina to Dhul Hulayfa is 12 miles. And in their times, Medina to Dhul Hulayfa is a half day journey. So how do you limit it? If you travel a half day journey, you make Qasr. If you want to base it on their own half day journey, traveling today between Medina and Dhul Hulayfa will not take you 20 minutes. Between Medina and Dhul Hulayfa today, 20 minutes. So there is an answer by Ibn Umar where he said if he travels Sa'atan for 1 hour, he will make Qasr. In their times,
A journey of half of a day was 12 miles. We will make in 15 to 20 minutes today. If there is no hold up, during the times when no hold up, you make 15 minutes. During the times of hard seasonal period, maybe 20 or 30 minutes, maximum 1 hour between Medina and Dhul Hulayfa. So when Ibn Umar said, radiallahu anhu, anhuma, that if he made a journey of 1 hour, a journey of 1 hour for them today, perhaps for us, will make a journey of 10 to 15 minutes also. I'm sure you are with me. So this is the reason why the ulama said, la hadda li dhalik. There is no limitation. The sharia has not placed a limit to say a journey of 12 miles or a journey of 15 miles, or a journey of a day, a journey of 2 days, a journey of 3 days. As long as it is a journey, this is what Allah says, وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, when you travel on the earth. So whatever makes a journey qualifies the journeying individual to make Salatul Qasr. This is the correct opinion amongst the ulama. But Imam Ibn Hazm said, rahimahullah, لَا حَدَّ لِذَالِكَ, there is no limitation to that, aslan, basically speaking. He said, rahimahullah, illa ma summiya safran, whatever was named as a journey was the journey, fi lughati al-arab, in the Arabic language, allati biha khatabahum alayhi salatu wa salam, the language with which he spoke to them, the companions radiyallahu anhum, if law kana لمقدارهم, it says لو كان لمقدار السفر حد, it says if لو كان لمقدار السفر حد, if the limit, the extent of journey was specified, غير ما ذكر, غير ما ذكرنا, apart from what we have said, لما أغفل بيانه البتة, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم would not have left out explaining it. وَلَا أَغْفَلُوا هُمْ, and the companions, they themselves, مَا أَغْفَلُوا سُؤَالَهُ, they would not have left out asking him, عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَلَا اتَّفَقُوا عَلَى تَرْكِ نَقْلِ التَّحْدِيدِ, and they had not agreed that we are going to abandon, we will not tell the rest of the ummah the particular limits the Prophet said. They did not agree on that. رضي الله عنهم. So if the companions did not agree that, oh, we will not tell the rest of the people, and we've not seen any person reporting anything authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam regarding the specific limit for the individual to make Salatul Qasr, then we leave it at the fact that what Allah says, فَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, when you travel on the earth. So travel means travel, whatever travel. And in that sense, the travel will not be limited to traveling on the earth, because it says darabtum fil ard. It will now include all forms of travel, whether we travel by air or we travel on the sea as we do now. They did that too, but that's not clearly, explicitly mentioned in the text. So it means understanding journey. As far as journeying is concerned, whenever a person journeys, then he is due for salah. It means, for example, we come back home. A person traveling or moving from mile 2 to Yanafaja, for example, and a person moving from Ilefe to Ipetumodu, who has traveled longer? Definitely the person traveling from mile 2 to Yanafaja has traveled longer in Lagos. But he will not perform custom because he has not traveled. He's still within the confines of his city. But when a person moves from Ilefe, for example, to Ikechimedu, they know, they will say, I'm traveling, when they say to themselves, I'm moving to Ikechimedu from Ilesha. So whatever makes a journey, no matter the distance, is what the Sharia allows for us to make Salatul Qasr. It is not limited by a specific distance. Like I mentioned just now, ulama say you don't make Salatul Qasr until you have left the town where you live. Ulama say that ittifaq on that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never performed Salatul Qasr until he left Medina. When he left the city, then he prayed Salatul Qasr. So for example, a person traveling from this town, where is the boundary of the town? Adere is it? Is it at Adere?
Yeah.
Huh? Somebody said Akuda, you see now. We have to be able to delineate. There is a town where they sell food stuff there. What's it called? Along the road. Before Sakona, just after Abere here. Owode. Moving from Oshogbo here to Odo, Owode is a journey. Because you would have gone out of Oshogbo. When you go, Owode is not considered as from Oshogbo. In fact, by what geographer says, should be part of Ede. So when you go out of this place to Owode here, you should perform Salatul Qasr. The one I had doubted before now, about 10 years ago when I lived in this town, if I went to Abere, I would pray Salatul Qasr. But these days, it is clearer that Abere has been adopted and assimilated to Oshogbo. So if you get to Abere, you should not pray Salatul Qasr. Because those who live in Oshogbo now, they don't consider going to Abere as a travel. But when they go to Owode, they still consider it as a travel. And they still consider Owode well out of Oshogbo. These are the matters. You become your own faqih. You'll be the one giving yourself the ruling when you understand this matter properly. When you go out of the town, before now, if you travel, if you move from, we used to hear about Yenagoa, like we are hearing about Lagos from Port Harcourt. I tell you this, when you say Yenagoa, I think we are talking about one town in the moon. But these days, it is very, very close because the towns are expanding. That's why some of the people now think that even when they get to Zulfulaifa, they should not, because Medina has extended up to Zulfulaifa. But the correct view is that Zulfulaifa is not part of Medina. So when you go out of Medina, you see the signposts, you're out of Medina. Once you get to Zulfulaifa, you're out of Medina. So the issue is, once in the concept, those who live in Lagos, they know that when they go to the one on the road, the town on the road, Ibafo, when they get to Ibafo, are they traveling or not? Those who reside in Lagos, when they get to Ibafo, what do they say? They know that they are traveling, despite the proximity. They know that they are traveling. Ask them, they will tell you. In any case, what the people consider as journey is the journey. Once you know I have journeyed, you have journeyed. And it should be out of the town from which you are journeying. When you journey out of the town, even from the outskirts of the town, outside, once you step out of the town, you are due for Salatul Qasr. So you are in Oshogbo, let's say Salatul Qasr is 1:15. You are in Oshogbo at 1:10. By 1:15, you find yourself in Owode. How do you perform that Salatul Qasr? How do you perform that Salah? I'm giving the answer. So you perform the Salah as a Salatul Qasr. There is also an issue around Salatul Qasr. So how long do we stay in a place we have traveled to before we stop performing Salatul Qasr? Ulama are variously divided. Al-Imam Badruddin Al-Ayni in his Umdat al-Qari, his Sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, he mentions 22 opinions. Some say when you stay for a day and a night. Some say when you stay for 3 days. Al-Imam Malik said, Rahimahullah, when you stay for 4 days. So if you travel to Ibadan, for example, you went to buy foodstuffs, you went to trade, or you travel to Aba, and as you are gathering your clothes, you are bringing to Oshogbo, you spend 4 days there. In the opinion of Imam Malik, you start praying Salat in full from the fourth day. Others say, once you settle down, that is one of the opinions from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Once you settle down, the Salatul Qasr has ended. You start performing the Salah full. Some say no, it is 3 days. Because the Messenger mentioned in the Hadith, alayhi salatu wa salam, that you entertain your guests for 3 days. What comes after 3 days is sadaqah. So it means after 3 days you are no more a traveling person. Like that, 22 opinions. Some say 19 days.
Hafizun al-Hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas in Sahih Bukhari. He said when they traveled, the Messenger alayhi salatu was salam, they spent 19 days performing the Salah in Qasr. But when they spent more than that, they stopped performing Salatul Qasr. In that same report, there's report of 15 days, there's report of 17 days. But the correct view, inshallah, is what some of the ulama have mentioned, like Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah. And Al-Imam Al-Albani also mentioned that. Many others amongst the scholars have mentioned it. They say there is no specific evidence to say it's a particular number of days you have to stay. Once you stay and you can go off journey, you are certain that I'm off the journey. It is not as if they divide the matter into two. The person who is staying in a town وَعَظَمَ الْإِقَامَةِ and decides that, look, I'm coming to stay in this town. That person begins to complete his salah from the very first day. Somebody is moving from Kaduna to live in Oshobo. Somebody is moving from Kano. Somebody is moving from Port Harcourt to live in Lagos. He is moving. Once he reaches Lagos, he starts performing his salah in full. لِأَنَّهُ عَظَمَ عَلَى الْإِقَامَةِ because he decided to stay there, so it's no more a traveling person. But the person traveled from Port Harcourt to Lagos on business. It's not living in Lagos. Let's just buy, sell, trade. He's still as a traveler. Ulama say he will perform Salatul Qasr for as long as he stays. He will perform Salatul Qasr because the rulings of a traveler are still applied on him. But if you say no until he stay for 19 days, the messenger stayed for 20 days, there's hadith of 20 days, the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. The messenger stayed for 20 days in Tabuk and he was praying Salatul Qasr. So we can't say specifically, ulama say the correct thing is, you observe, what am I doing here? Am I staying here? Or am I still a traveler here? There's an author of Abdullah ibn Umar. He stayed in Azerbaijan for 3 months, and in the entire 3 months, he was praying Salatul Qasr. Abdullah ibn Umar. There's also an answer from Anas ibn Malik. In his own case, about a year or two, he stayed in a place, and he was performing Salatul Qasr throughout. Ulama said the explanation for that is that they never decided to stay there. Let's just quickly. Like some of them say that a person begins to say, I will leave tomorrow, until he stays for 2-3 years, for the entire 2-3 years, he should be performing Salatul Qasr. So we should hold these basic points regarding Salatul Qasr. Another issue around Salatul Qasr, Al-Jam'u Bayna Salatayn. It is allowed for the traveling individual to combine between his salawat. He will combine between Zuhr and Asr. Either at the time of Zuhur, they mention that as Takdiman, that is, he makes Takdim, he brings forward Salatul Asr. Or he performs the Salah together at the time of Salatul Asr. Ta'akhiran, what did he akhara? What did he bring back? He brought Salatul Zuhur backwards to the time of Salatul Asr. In this case, don't forget, the time of Salatul Asr extends up to before sunset. So the traveling person may bring his Zuhur down, is still within the time of Salatul Asr, before sunset. It means just before sunset, you may see a traveling person quickly making up his Zuhur and Asr. At the time of Asr, because the time of Asr extends to before the sun begins to descend its rise. That's regarding combining salah when the individual is traveling. Except there are questions around that. I think that suffices on the issue of safar. Now, likewise, we can combine Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha as we explained regarding Salatul Zuhur and Salatul Asr. So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, وإكثار الصلاة في الأطفال والاختيار فيه بين الصيام والإفطار في الأطفال. Says والاختيار فيه. Likewise, this traveling individual has a choice بين الصيام, between fasting والإفطار, or breaking his fast في الأطفال during his journey. The traveling person has a choice. والاختيار فيه بين الصيام والإفطار في الأطفال. He has a choice to fast or break his fast في الأطفال during his journeys. إن شاء صام. If he will, he could fast. وإن شاء أفطر. If he will, he may not fast. If the person is traveling. Ramadan. In Ramadan, the individual is traveling. If he will, he could fast. And if he will, he could leave the fast. He has a choice to choose between fasting and not fasting. And the evidence for that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Since فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا, whoever amongst you is ill, أو على سفر, or is on a journey, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ, he could take his فَعِدَّةٌ, he could count those days and make them up on other days. فَعِدَّةٌ فِي أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ, he could count them and make them up on other days. So that is the evidence that the person that is traveling may not fast during his journey. And it does not mean that the person who is fasting is better than him. It does not mean that the person who is fasting is better than him. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ الصِّيَامُ فِي السَّفَرِ. لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ الصِّيَامُ فِي السَّفَرِ. It is not part of righteousness to fast while traveling. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it is not part of righteousness to fast while traveling. That is the reason why the person who is fasting while traveling cannot claim to be more righteous than the person who is not there, who chose not to fast. He has a choice not to fast. In fact, some of the ulama believe that not to fast is better than fasting. Some of the ulama hold that not to fast is better than fasting. They mention two things. They said, because when Allah mentions these things in the Quran, He says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. He does not want difficulty for you. And the stress of journey is sufficient difficulty for the traveling person. So when Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ, I want ease for you. The individual then says, no, I still want to fast. So they say it means not to fast is better than fast. There is another hadith. A companion came to the Prophet Muhammad. Said, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. This person said, O Messenger of Allah, I have the ability to fast. I'm strong. Fasting will not do anything to me in terms of weakness. So the Prophet said, alayhi salat, هِيَ رُخْصَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Not to fast is by way of ease that Allah has brought you. فَمَنْ أَخَذَ بِهَا فَحَسَنٌ. Whoever takes to that ease that Allah has directed to us, فَحَسَنٌ. He said that is better. He says, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَسُومَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ. But whoever chooses to fast, there is no blame on him. Ulama say, you see now. He says, فَمَنْ أَخَذَ بِهَا فَحَسَنٌ. They say, حَسَنٌ is better than لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ. He says, فَحَسَنٌ, that is better. He says, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَسُومَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ. But the one who likes, who chooses to fast, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ, there is no blame on him. So ulama say, the one that has Hassan is better than the one that has عدم الجناح عليك. So that is the reason why they hold that it is better not to fast than fasting. This is what I subscribe to. May Allah accept our acts of worship. From the sunnah of traveling connected to fasting is, if you are traveling this morning from your town, it does not mean that you have to have gone out of the town before you start eating if you choose not to fast during that journey. You want to travel from Oshogbo to Lagos. You are set for the journey. You could take your meal at home before you go into the car. Not like Salatul Qasr. Salatul Qasr, you'll be due for Salatul Qasr when you are outside, once you go out. But iftar for the musafir, you are due for it even when you are still inside your house. You could still take a meal before you start on your journey. Anas ibn Malik did that. رضي الله عنه. الإمام الترمذي reported the hadith. He ate in the morning while he was ready to go on a journey. So somebody saw him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Sunnah to Nabiina." He said, "That is the sunnah of our Prophet." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if a person chooses not to fast on a journey, he could eat his breakfast, whether at the time of sahur, whether at the time that the people are watching. He could eat that breakfast before he continues on the journey. Ulama even say, those who find difficulty when they travel, yet they combine fasting with it, they say that it is wrong. Some say it is makruh, some say it is haram. Some say it is makruh to fast together with difficulty. You're on a journey, you're not finding it easy. And then you fast. You start resting like this, you relax. People start saying, "Afa, what's happening?" Sit. Now this fast, you rest again. Even if you are in a non-Muslim community and saying, "Oh, why now, which time do you make you fast?" Don't do that when you are fasting, if you are traveling. Don't behave in such a way people start asking you what is wrong with you. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled with a companion. Some people started falling on the ground, ill, weak, because of the fast. The others started going to get some water for them and fanning them. The Prophet was asking alayhi salatu wasalam, "What is wrong with those people?" They say, fast. The heat, the difficulty. And so somebody faints and then they begin to blow some air on him and then provide water and all of this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people to break their fast. In some report, he himself got a bowl of milk and drank. Al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah. He said this is evidence that those that the people see as models should break their fast in front of the people so that the people will know that they can break their fast and follow them to break the fast. So the messenger broke his fast in one of the reports. Those other people still falling down because of weakness, some of them still refused to break the fast. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ula'ika al-usaa." Those are the sinful ones. Those are the disobedient ones. "Ula'ika al-usaa." So ulama say, when a person travels and fasting makes him become so weak, perhaps dehydrated, perhaps disturbed, he could not make the journey, and then if he has to make the journey, everybody starts asking him, "Ustaz, what is wrong with you?" It is, some say haram, some say makruh, for him to fast. But it appears that the position that it is haram is stronger. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to them as what? Disobedient people. And somebody will not be being disobedient except that he does something that is haram. He is doing something that is haram. So these are some of the rulings connected to fasting and traveling. So the Imam said, rahimahullah, wa iqsaru salati fil atfal. From the things of sunnah is to reduce the shutting our prayer during the journey. وَالِاخْتِيَارُ فِيهِ بَيْنَ الصِّيَامِ وَالْإِفْطَارِ فِي الْأَطْفَالِ. And we have a choice to choose between either fasting or not fasting. For those that the fast is not disturbing, but for those that the fast has become a difficulty upon them, we've heard that the best thing is for them to fast. The best thing is for them to break their fast and not fast. It says, Insha'a Sama wa Insha'a Aftara. If the person wills, he could break his fast. Sama, he could fast, wa Insha'a Aftara. And if the person wills, he could break his fast. That is the basic rule. But it is better for him, like we affirm, for the individual not to fast in the month of Ramadan while traveling. But if he fasts, there's no problem on him. And for those who do not fast in the month of Ramadan while traveling, let them not forget. فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَى. When they break the fast, they have to pay back after the month of Ramadan. May Allah accept our acts of worship. We'll stop here, inshallah, so that we could take the questions that we have. But that point again is وَإِقْصَارُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ وَالِاخْتِيَارُ فِيهِ بَيْنَ الصِّيَامِ وَالْإِفْطَارِ فِي الْأَسْفَارِ إن شاء صام وإن شاء أفطر. عليكم السلام. عن صلاة القصر. نعم. Somebody that does what? Living in Oshun. Oshun both now. Whenever he is in Ife, he will perform Salatul Qasr. Alaykum salam. Somebody lives in Oshogbo working in Ife. Whenever he is in Ife, he performs Salatul Qasr. In fact, from Owode here, Qasr to Ife. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam. Now, in addition to that, if he has a residence, when he goes there, does he go to take residence or he goes to work? He performs Salatul Qasr. Once you are not going to take residence, you perform Salatul Qasr. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Even if you have a wife there, some of the people say yes. There is a narration around that, and the hadith is weak, that if a man has a wife in a place, he should not perform Salatul Qasr. The hadith is very weak, it is not authentic. So the basic rule is, you have a wife there, not because you are not going there to stay. You are a traveling person in that environment, even though you have a wife there. Some will say, okay, you are from Oshogbo, you are living in Mina. You come to Oshogbo for holidays, for a week. Should you perform Salatul Qasr or not? You perform Salatul Qasr because you have changed the residence. Oshogbo has now become a place of journeying for you. Your residence is Mina. And that was why the companions and the Prophet Muhammad, when they migrated to Medina, whenever they came to Makkah, they performed Salatul Qasr. When the Prophet led the Salah, he would tell the people, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَتِمُّوا صَلَاتَكُمْ فَإِنَّا قَوْمٌ سَفْرٌ. O people, stand up and complete your Salah. We are a traveling people. And it's in Makkah. And the Prophet is from Makkah, alayhi salatu wasalam. So if you are from Oshogbo, you travel wherever, you come back to say, oh, let's come and see home, see people. Know that for as long as you stay, you are going to perform Salatul Qasr. Now, in the world we live, maybe you came from outside the country, you want to take a flight, and then you have flight delays. You have flight delays. You have flight delays. You have flight delays. You can remain here for 6 months and you are still performing Salatul Qasr. I hope we get this point clear. Somebody is working in, Lautek, a medical doctor. He goes to Ogbomosho, he stays there for 4 working days, and comes back during the weekend. When he is at Ogbomosho, he will be performing Salatul Qasr, because he has not gone to Ogbomosho to take residence. Alaykum as-salam. Is it encouraged for a traveling person to avoid performing the Jama'ah with the rest of the people if his journey necessitates that? If what he's going to do there necessitates not joining the rest of the people in the masajid, if his journey necessitates that he is praying alone, he should be praying alone. A student going to stay somewhere is going to take residence. When you live in Ibadan, you go to study in Ife. You are in Ife semester, you go back home. You go to Ife to take residence. So ulama say you perform your salah full. The same thing applies to those who come to make orientation camp. When they come here to take residence. So they perform their salah full from the very first day. Except those salawat that they miss while on the road. Otherwise, from the time they arrive, they perform the salah full. Emkan knows this. Emkan teach, they teach their people this. Alaykum as-salam. Amin wa antum.
And you have to mention that the same thing for food stores. Now, can my wife go there without mahram?
She cannot. A woman should not go to Owode without mahram because she would have traveled. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited a woman making a journey, any journey, without going with her mahram. In fact, in that narration, he said, a woman who believes in Allah on the day of Qiyamah should not make any journey except that her husband or her mahram, her brother, her uncle, they are with her. She should not go if she fears Allah on the day of Qiyamah. So she should not. Many women do so. They go to Wode, they come back. They should stop it. When they want to do so, Abu should go with them. Or their children that are grown up should go with them. They consider it as travel, that's what we are saying. Oshobo, people in Oshobo know that Owode is not part of Oshobo. Owode is part of Ede. So if you go from Abere, you walk in Abere, if you go from Abere to Owode, you perform Salatul Qadr. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد الله إخوة والله if you travel on Hajj for example or Umrah you will know the value of Salatul Qasr. When you travel and you are performing Qasr you will know the value of Qasr when you are on a journey. In fact if they say somebody can perform Salatul Qasr for a year, if you are a person who travels very well you will not be surprised. Yeah, he really deserves it. Travel brings a lot of burdens to the mind, no matter how comfortable. Do we know what they call journey lag? Air lag. Flight lag. It happens on the air too. When you travel on the air, you travel from Thailand to China for 10, 11 hours. From Lagos to Los Angeles, 16 hours. Non-stop. That one is fine. Nigeria to UAE here. Lagos to Dubai here is 8 hours. You will be tired. And that's why they do something, they serve you meals. So they are giving you meal, you are eating. You finish one, you come and pass the plate. Before you say, oh, alhamdulillah, they bring another one. So you are engaged. You are engaged. They entertain you, they be bringing water, bringing juice. They will not bring all together. They will bring them one after the other. So that as you are busy, the plane is going. It's not stopping for you to eat. But I tell you, by the time you drop, if they say pray four rakats, you will say, Ustaz, is there no takfif? Is there no reduction? I tell you, you'll be so exhausted. So you wonder if a person now travels from Lagos to Los Angeles for 16 hours. How is that? In fact, you'll be begging for more. Even the tutu, like I say, can't we reduce it to one? There's a lot of value, there's a lot of hikmah and for the virtue, excellence, benefits that Allah has embedded for us in Salatul Qasr. Alaykum salam. Three. What do you mean by mission accomplishment? It doesn't until you get back home. You stop Qasr when you get back to your home. If you travel to Abuja to do interview, you don't stop your custom until you have come back to Kebale where you stay. What role? They are students. They should enjoy the reduction too. Or they should pay high fees. Is that what you mean? Are you are not. No. What do you think they should do from what you understand? What Islam teaches us? Do you think Islam will encourage Muslim students to go and be shouting like that? Recently, when the head of government of this country went there, they were embarrassing him. Islam does not like that. Islam hates that the leader, even the leader of Kufar, the leader of Kafirun, if he comes to us, we Muslims, we honor him. Do you know that? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited dishonoring the leader of the people. Once a person is a head amongst the people, don't disagree with him. Don't disgrace him. And you know what? The world diplomatic setup also recognizes this. When you see a leader of a group of people come, what is the value of a counselor? What is the value of an oba that the president goes to visit? It's because the itinerary recognizes that there are some people who are leaders of the people. Apart from political office holders, they have a say. So they say they have a meeting of who is who. They say they have a meeting of stakeholders. What is the meaning of stakeholders? Who are stakeholders? Even in the political setup, who are those who put, quote unquote, those in political offices? Who are those who organize their vote for them? The stakeholders. The stakeholders. It happens everywhere. Even in the U.S., they have what they refer to as those who go around government, they want some policies to be adopted by government. So they negotiate with government that, look, government will gain from this. They are not from government. They were sent by people. They are in the intermediary between those who want to benefit from that policy and the government. So once a person, not to talk of the head of a country, it's not a good thing. Islamically, if it is Islam, Islam does not encourage us to embarrass and publicly insult the leaders of people, whether they are non-Muslims or not. If we have a state of Islam, do you find when a ruler goes to some Muslim countries, they embarrass them, no matter how much disagreements they have? You later find young people say, why should the leader of a country go to another country? Why didn't the Muslims disgrace him? No, you don't do that. The Christians of Najran, the hadith is weak. But it has an aspect of it that the Christians of Najran came to visit the Prophet Muhammad. It was one of the occasions that the Messenger alayhi salatu salam dressed best. He wore the best clothes. He spread something neat on the ground for them to see. He honored them. He gave them a nice place in the masjid to sit. There is a weak aspect of it. The weak aspect of it is that when they wanted to start their worship, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed them to worship in the masjid. That is not correct. But it was correct that they visited him alayhi salatu wasalam. And he honored them on their visit. So why the leader of the people come and then the people begin to insult him, embarrass him and sing and dance, and then people start shouting, hey, no, don't do that. Islam does not support it. Allahu Akbar. That does not remove him. That does not remove him. It does not. We need to be begging Allah more. than all of these that the people are doing. They're asking Allah for help and for what we want, rather than all of these. If we take, we want to do as we want, Allah will leave us to our affairs. May Allah protect us. In this matter, may Allah not leave us to our affairs. Alaykum as-salam. Okay.
Now, the first question is on the issue of serving Christian Jamaat. Now, I heard of an idea that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called some people who are praying behind him before to join the Jamaat to pray before us. So I don't know whether they are going to be authentic or not. Now, if they are going to be authentic, does that imply, I want to make some inferences from that, does that imply that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't like people to observe their salat individually, in encouraging praying in community, even if they are complete for the conditional prayer?
No, he did not. Because if he encouraged every jama'ah after the main jama'ah will have no meaning. It is allowed for you, two of you, to pray after the generality of the people have prayed. It will not have a meaning to say he's encouraging you to come and pray with the generality of the people. And praying with the generality of the people is not encouraged, it is obligatory. It is a sin not to join the rest of the Muslims in prayer, congregationally. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he would have willed, as it's in hadith in Abu Dawud, the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would wish that he starts the salah, the iqamah is made, and he appoints somebody to lead. And then he goes to the house of those who have not come to join the main congregation and put fire on their houses. He says he will burn the house down with them. He wished that. So that goes to explain that it is a very big sin not to be joining the rest of the Muslims in congregational prayer. If you give vent, if you give support to other congregational prayers after the main congregational prayer, you have defeated yourself. Do we get this point? If he was emphasizing to the extent of saying that those who didn't come for the obligatory prayer, their house should be burnt down, will he, the same person, now support that other people come and start another jama'ah again? The first jama'ah will not have a value. But if you all know that once you miss that jama'ah, no any other jama'ah, everybody will be racing towards the main jama'ah. So that's why I said I do not agree with that first deduction you are making. The hadith you cited is authentic. It's contained in Musnad Imam Ahmad, and I think it's also in Sunan Abi Dawud. There's a report that it was Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq that was appointed to follow the person in the salah. That report is weak. But it is authentic that once after his salah, he told one of the people to join a companion who came late in salah. And he made a statement that made us understand what he meant by that. Alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, man yatasaddaqu li akhihi falyaf'al. Who wants to make sadaqah for his brother should do that. The sadaqah is the person who had prayed is the one who wants to make sadaqah because he has something he wants to give. What does he want to give? He had prayed already. He had achieved the result, the reward of Salatul Jama'ah. He now wants to give vent. He wants to add value to the Salah of the next person. But there are two people who have not prayed at all. Who is giving? Who has what to give you? So that's why the ulama said this hadith is not evidence to prove that it is correct to be repeating the jama'ah. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. Now, ask. What about what? If you are all travelers, there are two or three kinds of masajid you pray in. You pray in the masjid, we call, refer to them as Masjid al-Musafirin or Masjid al-Tariq. The masajid that are built on the road, they are just there for every person comes pray and you go away. It's allowed. Traveling people should make a jama'ah there and pray and go away. That's in the hadith, in the asar of Anas ibn Malik. He did that, radiallahu anhu. And then if the salah is in a masjid where, the masjid is established, but there's no imam. No specific imam, no specific muazzin. That kind of a masjid, you can pray together again and go. But in a salah, in a masjid that is organized, that is established, it should be avoided as much as possible. Allahu a'lam. This position is not strange. It is the position of the four imams. And many among the tabi'un, according to Imam Hassan al-Basri, don't think it's a strange thing, repeating the jama'ah, that it is a discouraged thing. It's not a strange thing. It is the most common thing, although we don't do it now. Before now, when we were younger than this, the Babas used to predict us from adding replace. When they pray, they are mosques because you want to pray, they say, no, not here. Because that is the view of Al-Imam Malik. So they knew what they were doing. Alaykum salam. Some say if the imam allows them, it can be allowed. We say, who give the imam the authority to do that? You see, the asal for salawat, I give you an example. Salat nawafil. The nawafil we perform. If we all come into the masjid now, we want to perform salat zuhur. Before zuhur, we want to make ratiba of zuhur. Will we perform it together or not? The nafila. Will we pray it together? Why? Why don't we pray it together? Because there is no proof for it. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Okay. Salatu tarawih. It's nafila too. When we want to pray, the best thing is that we do what? We pray together. Not just the males, women, children, everybody come to Salatullah Tarawih. Why? Because there is evidence to do that. So Salah is something you don't perform in a particular way except there is evidence for you to do that. So ulama ask, if you say after the normal congregation in the masjid, people can repeat other congregations. You say, what is the proof for that? The hadith they always bring is that hadith we just explained. And it does not have to do with what they are saying. So, if you say Imam gives a permission, we say, oh, if Imam gives us permission that we should perform Salat al-Nawafil before Salat al-Zuhur, if he says we should pray together, will we pray together? So we will not. It is not from the issues that the imams can allow. It's just like demonstrations, public outcry against government. Some of the people say, if the government allows it, should you allow it? Ulama say, how can a government allow what Allah and His Messenger have disallowed? It's not allowed to follow them. Allah and the Messenger have prohibited public outcry, public disturbance. Making noise and disturbing the peace of the community is wrong. If you are displeased with anything government does, you write government. You go to public complaints. You go to the appropriate, there are windows the government has opened for that. If you know anybody who knows them, you tell the person you have discharged your own responsibility. But you come out and say you are doing sit-in. And one of the things that happens is, when people permit public demonstrations, some people are saying, we go agree. The others will come and say what? We no go agree. How many times did we go agree and we no go agree met at Tahrir Square and fought themselves and killed themselves? You know what I mean? You know Tahrir Square in Egypt? Many times pro-government and anti-government demonstration bodies, they meet and they clash and fight and kill themselves. Okay, a third group too can come. Our own is we agree and we no go agree together. Allah does not, wallahu la yuhibbu al-fasad. So you don't allow what Allah and the Messenger have not allowed. Allahu alam. Alaykum salam. A traveling person during Ramadan. He will fast after Ramadan. When Ramadan finishes, if he missed 2 or 3 days, he will fast those days in place after the month of Ramadan. Alaykum salam. He says, alayhi salatu wa salam, your elders first, the elders. Let him ask her. No, not you. Now, alaykum salam. Okay. He's asking a question about an event that occurred sometime in Ife. The student union, not student union, students, some group of students were in the common rooms. If you know Ife very well, the halls have common rooms. All halls. I don't know any hall that does not have a common room. A place where there are chairs, there's a TV, you know, people come and watch, you know, and then they eat food and then go back to their rooms. A place of common meat among students. So some of the students started bringing, you know, pawns to show there. And I think after some time, a feud occurred between the Muslim students and the rest of the students watching the porn or something. Allahu alam. I know that the students, I heard about this event, but frankly I wouldn't know whether that was just the Muslim students acted just because the other people were watching what they were watching. I wouldn't know whether that was if a student here. Afa Muhammad, you were around during the porn event, Abi?
No.
What happened? Why did the Muslim students react? They did what? Okay. Yeah, just go on. I was there for a whole year. So on the day that event, a feud occurred, what happened? It's okay. And then the feud occurred. I think it was sufficient for the students to have waited for authority to act before they act. It was sufficient for the students. They would have done their best. They would have done their own. But that school has a tradition itself that the students themselves prohibit evils. Evils that both Muslims and non-Muslims agree that are evils, the students will prevent the evils. One of such evils is the evil of secret calls. When they struck in June 10, cool? The entirety of the students, in fact, the Muslim students even played stronger roles. I remember vividly one of the boys that were arrested amongst the cultists. When those non-Muslims come, they run away. A Muslim brother caught that boy and took him to where they were, you know, taking the people and things like that, handing them over to police and the like. So the university, the students themselves have a rule to prohibit evil. Themselves, they both agree that it's evil. I give you an example. If a student finds a boy beating a girl, they will deal with the boy. If a student finds a boy raping a girl, they will deal with the boy. They will not go to any authority. These are evils that we all agree are evils. And they are evils that, in fact, I am also aware, when students demonstrate and destroy public buildings, university structures, the students will arrest that student and take him to appropriate authority. Not only that, two boys fighting or two girls fighting, the students will catch them and take them to authority. So there are things like this within the schools, psyche. Perhaps this drove the Muslim students to what they did. But nevertheless, it was better for them to have waited for the authority to act, even though they had notified the authority. It was just better for them to allow the authority to act, especially in things that are common. Even though the authority decides to look the other way, you could still talk to the authority, could still relate with authority, pressurize the authority, go visit repeatedly and write letters, follow up, pressurize them to come and do something about it. May Allah protect us all. I think it was far from the students to have done that. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. Now, is it obligatory on the traveler to pray Salatul Duha? It is not obligatory. But it is from the Sunan that the traveler could make Salatul Duha while traveling. Salatul Duha. Now, Salatul Jum'ah while traveling. We discussed that last week. It is not obligatory on the traveling person to perform Salatul Jum'ah. It's among the five people that Salatul Jum'ah is not obligatory upon them, the traveling person. I think it's sufficient for us to stop here, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.